How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, here for you, post, I can't even bring myself to say it, Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving trade, immediate emergency podcast. I know Sam Packard, who joins me, may not like the term emergency podcast, but damn it, this is an emergency. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Packard. Well, let's just start with it. What was your immediate reaction?
Ah, fuck. it's really a kind of a kick in the pants. I mean, I'm not as down on this trade as some members of the kind of the Celtics zeitgeist are, but just to lose, for one, Isaiah Thomas, who just really felt like he came into his own over the past couple of seasons and was kind of that perfect Boston player, a guy who wanted to be here, a guy who worked incredibly hard, just a magical season last year. He was kind of everything you wanted in an athlete. He really cared. He's charismatic. He's the underdog. He's undersized. He fought it like hell. The tooth game last year, which I just remembered, just kind of all of those things. It's just, it was really fun rooting for him to be the kind of star of your team. So in a situation like that, it's just not fun to lose him. On top of that, you lose a player in Jay Crowder, who I like had a special affinity for. I just thought he was like, he kind of came out of nowhere. He also busts his ass. He worked really hard, did the little things. Was just a kind of those two guys were major reasons why this team grew in the way that they did. So my first reaction was just like, ugh. No, we're losing these two guys, and we're giving the Brooklyn pick. I was not thrilled about it. I mean, I've definitely gone through the motions and have talked myself into kind of the logic behind the trade, but initially, my just kind of first reaction was just disappointment.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I've been spending a lot of time this summer fighting back against people who suggested trades like this one, which was, we haven't said it yet, Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and the unprotected 2018 Brooklyn Nets pick for Kyrie Irving. I've been saying all along that that's too much, that I see Isaiah and Kyrie being at the same level, that they are basically the same player talent-wise, and to give up Crowder and to give up the pick just felt like way too much. Now, if you listen to Danny Ainge, he seems to think that, yes, they gave up a lot, but he holds Kyrie Irving in a much higher regard than we do. So let's listen to Danny Ainge explaining this on a conference call about the Celtics giving up a lot for Kyrie Irving.
An opportunity for us presented itself, even though it is a high price tag. It is a great value that we're giving up. We love Isaiah and love Jay Crowder, and we're just getting to know Ante Zizic, who we've watched and and nurtured over the last year and giving up a quality first-round pick. But, you know, acquiring a 25-year-old perennial all-star, a player that, you know, fits a timeline for us and is a fantastic offensive player, is one of the best offensive players in the league. You have to pay a heavy price.
Okay, the one thing that he did reference in there, and if you follow along on Twitter, they were counting how many times he said he's 25 years old, that Kyrie is 25 years old, and it's pretty obvious that that was a big thing for Ainge, that he said Kyrie fits in the timeline better than Isaiah Thomas, and the premium for getting a guy at that level that fits the timeline was palatable, that Crowder and the pick was palatable. I guess I'm getting mostly hung up on this pick, and let's get a reaction to this, because there's just a lot of thoughts going on. How do you feel about what Ainge said? The price that he had to pay was steep but worth it.
I mean, there's some logic behind it, and Isaiah's contract's going to be up after next year. They're going to have to pay him if they're going to keep him. He, like you said, back up the Brinks truck. So if you can get a player who's younger, if you already say you're giving that the kind of the talent is equal, who's younger, who's going to be, I guess, cheaper for the next 2 years. We don't know what the cap is going to be in 2 years, but maybe it's going to be a different number. I agree, it goes along with the timeline. I think that makes sense in a vacuum. The giving up the Brooklyn pick, it hurts just because of how much time we've been kind of waiting on the Nets pick. Shouts to Millie's. It's going to have to write a new theme song now. But that's the only thing that makes this trade happen if you're Cleveland. Like, Cleveland doesn't do this trade unless the Nets pick is involved, because I'm imagining that they're preparing for Isaiah and LeBron James to leave at the end of next season, so they need to have something to build around. So if you're going to make this trade at all, it feels like the Nets pick is key. I don't like giving it up, especially because I just don't think the Nets are going to – I still think they're going to be pretty bad. I know they added D'Angelo Russell, Damari Carroll, and Alan Crabb. They're definitely going to be a little bit better. It could be not too bad of a pick, but I don't know. It's definitely a steep price to pay, but I think a lot of Celtics fans are just – because personally, I mean, I've spent so much time just hating on Kyrie Irving and shitting on him, and like the fight between who's better, Kyrie Isaiah, has gone on for so long that we're not realizing that Kyrie is a very a special player and one of the better offensive players in the league. I try not to get upset about sports because they're sports, so I'm trying to see the positives in this. Kyrie's a very good basketball player, but I agree. It's a steep price, but ultimately I think it makes sense. If you truly value a 25-year-old Kyrie that much more than a 28-year-old or 29, I'm forgetting at this point, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, you know, I guess one thing that I'm struggling with, first of all, what I'm struggling with is that people like Skip Bayless and Gary Tanguay love the trade.
Oh, yeah.
And That hurts my feelings. That doesn't make me feel good at all.
The minute I saw Lou Maloney tweet out that he loved the trade, I was like, oh, man, I hate that I agree
with
him.
There are a bunch of people whose NBA opinions, at least their public NBA opinions, I don't like and don't respect very much. They like this. So my initial instinct is to say, well, if they think it's good, then it's got to be bad. And so I've got to... If you want to take a bigger picture look, because this is not something you can judge immediately on the surface, it sucks that they're going to take another big step back defensively. I think losing Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder hurts way too much defensively. And then on top of it, losing Isaiah Thomas, now I have questions about the locker room, because those three guys were big presences in the locker room. Isaiah and Jay Crowder had that locker room in check. And now it's up to... Look, they have four players remaining from last year's team.
That's wild.
Team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, they have four players remaining. So now it's up to Al Horford to be the guy in the locker room. And while I have the utmost respect for Al Horford, I feel like he's a more quiet, do it on the court, prove it on the court kind of guy. I like the idea of a Jay Crowder type, an Isaiah Thomas type, big talkers in the locker room to step up as needed. So that's something that I really am wondering about. I feel like Danny Ainge must know a lot more than we are privy to. I feel like he's got to feel like the hip is a bigger issue than we're being told. I feel like he must feel that LeBron James is gone. He must you can't make that team better. Like what's our argument been all along? You can't give Cleveland all of those extra pieces on top of paying too much and paying a steep price. You're giving Cleveland pieces that will make them better. So he must think that LeBron is gone no matter what, because otherwise they have the potential to keep Isaiah Thomas and keep Jay Crowder for a while. And if LeBron sticks around, now you're banging your head up against that same wall in Cleveland. So I'm still kind of struggling to get my head around that.
Yeah, I think there's a very good argument to be made that the Celtics got worse this year and the Cavs got better this year, just because the Cavs really lacked depth last season and they added like kind of the exact kind of 3-and-D type player that they need. In Jay Crowder, they just get another random big. Actually, I'm sorry, I was about to bring up Ante Zizic. If Ante Zizic gets brought up in the merits of this deal at all, I'll be furious, because I think he's is not going to matter. But that's a side point. I think the Celtics, it's really hard to argue that they're a better team, at least for me, on paper this year than they were last year, just because it feels like they're now relying on contributions from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Basically rookies, really young players to make huge contributions. And you're right, the locker room thing is kind of, it's difficult to figure out what it's going to be, because Al Horford doesn't strike you as like a loud guy. Gordon Hayward definitely doesn't talk to anyone. Kyrie Irving is just a weird dude, as given his trade demands. It feels like the Celtics lost a lot of their heart and like a lot of their personality, and the reason why so many Celtics fans enjoyed their like watching this team recently. So I don't know, I think Danny Ainge must, it feels like punting on this year. It really does. It feels like and we could be wrong, the Celtics could come together and have the best offense in the history of time, but it feels like you're making your main rival in the Eastern Conference a little bit better while taking a step back. You're going to need time to adjust, and it feels like maybe you just think the Warriors are that good and there's no like real reason to compete immediately for this year. And clearly it's a long-term move, because there's no that's why you trade for the younger guy. That's why you talk about the timeline. So clearly this is a move to kind of be great in years 2, 3, and 4. They reports on Twitter that they expect to re-sign Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving is thrilled to be with the Celtics. So I would fully expect him to kind of re-sign at whatever extension or max he wants when that comes up. But it's clearly, it's a deal for the long term, which it makes sense, because at no point did I think the Celtics were going to contend for the title this upcoming season with Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. I still didn't think they had the pieces, but it's hard not to say that they didn't make their main rival better and didn't take a little bit of a step back.
Well, let's listen to Celtics radio play-by-play guy, former Celtic, Cedric Maxwell on WBZ TV, courtesy of my buddy, sports producer Scott Sullivan. Follow him at SullyBuns with a Z on Twitter. Let's listen to Cedric Maxwell's take, and he seems to think that it's a good deal.
Shock, really. You know, everybody said fireworks. Well, this is nuclear fireworks. I mean, I'm amazed that they made this trade. Kyrie Irving's a great player. I hate to lose Isaiah, because Isaiah was really a darling for this team and has done so much for this city and connected in a way that I have not seen any player do in a long time. But you have to think of it in the business situation. Kyrie Irving is the best point guard right now in the NBA. And if you're willing to give up that Brooklyn pick, and Danny Ainge really pulled off a coup.
two things there. He calls it a coup for Danny Ainge, which that's one perspective, certainly. And he calls Kyrie Irving the best point guard in the NBA, which he is not. He may someday become that. I don't know. He's 25. And for all of the things that I've said on Twitter, I do have to acknowledge that he is 25. And we keep talking about guys not hitting their primes till 27, 28. So maybe 2-3 years under Brad Stevens will elevate him to a different level. I don't think he's the best point guard in the NBA. I don't think he's the best point guard in the East. I will take three guys in the East at least over him. But he's 25, and that's fine. I get it. My biggest problem with Kyrie is that he just completely isolates. And I know he just averaged just under 6 assists, and that's the best he's done as far as that goes. I don't know how that's going to translate. I don't know how it's going to work with Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, and if he's going to if he can be unselfish and still go out and score while really working the ball around and playing a little bit more unselfish basketball, then things change. If he can go out there and play some defense instead of just not trying at all, then that changes things considerably. But I have serious qualms about Kyrie Irving as he has been. But I will acknowledge, as people have been throwing at me, that he is young and playing. He hasn't played under a ton of good coaches. So playing under Brad Stevens will mean something.
Yeah, and all the things we said going, I think, in yesterday's pod, I'm so glad we previewed how the Celtics match up against every single team yesterday, because that was so beautiful. But all the things we said about the Celtics' kind of offensive potential for having Gordon Hayward as a primary ball handler, for kind of having you can stagger those two guys. Now it's Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. I still think the Celtics have a potential to be a great offense. You just have to imagine that Kyrie Irving playing with Gordon Hayward and a player like Al Horford, he's going to kind of play in the system. And like you mentioned, playing under Brad Stevens, it kind of, we haven't really seen any players come in and be unselfish. The thing that concerns me the most is I think Tom Habestra wrote a really great piece about this for ESPN at some point during this offseason, just about how Kyrie played without LeBron James on the floor. Like, we really don't know what kind of player Kyrie is without LeBron. And I'm sure playing with LeBron is just makes you that much better, makes the shots you get that much more open. It's kind of like it's going to be exciting to see what Kyrie can do outside of that shadow. And because of that, I think he's going to have, I mean, we can talk later about the enormous chip on Isaiah's shoulder that's going to be there now, and how terrifying it's going to be to play an Isaiah LeBron team. But I think Kyrie Irving definitely has something to prove now, coming out of, basically asking out of playing with LeBron James to be on this team. I would imagine him to come out and play his ass off. So I feel like the trying on defense really shouldn't be an issue. And if you think about it, if you have two bad defensive players, you'd rather have the guy who's 6'3" than the guy who's 5'8". Just in terms of size. I still think the Celtics are going to be a great team. It doesn't change, I think, their outlook for this season that much, that drastically. But it's going to be really hard to see, or I guess interesting to figure out and difficult to figure out how this team comes together and meshes, because, like you said, there's only four players from last year, and that is Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Rozier, and then Al Horford. Like, a bunch of young players, Al Horford, and then an entirely new roster made up of rookies and then odd cast-offs like Mook Morris and Aaron Baines. So, I don't know. It completely changes the dynamic of the season. It's like it's just weird because it shows you how much of a business the just basketball is. It is the ultimate business move, because if this was just like it wasn't about just completely trading away like contracts or assets or just how you see it. It's like Isaiah's been the Boston Celtics. He's the major reason why they're in the position where they are to sign Al Horford, to sign Gordon Hayward. And you just would never think that he'd be traded, but that's just like the way the business of basketball works now. So it's going to be kind of, it's going to be a little awkward just to be rooting for Kyrie Irving. Like, I've spent so much time hating the Cavs and hating Kyrie Irving for his stupid opinions about the earth and the dumb things he says. And now it's like you're obligated to root for him. I guess you root for the name on the front of the jersey is the cliche, but it's just going to be a little bit confusing. And do I like the Cavs now? Like, I've spent so much time invested in Isaiah and Jay. Like, I don't know what to feel. It's just going to be an odd 2 months where I get, like, even with seeing the jersey that the Celtics tweeted out with the picture of Kyrie and in a Celtics jersey, just was, it was awkward. It looked weird. I don't know how to react.
Exactly. Think about, first of all, how happy the NBA must be to have Celtics Cavs open up the season. You immediately open up the season with drama. And the very first thing we're going to see in the regular season is Isaiah Thomas in a Cavaliers jersey. Of course, that is if his hip is well enough for him to play. But still, that's going to be weird. It's going to be weird seeing Kyrie in that Celtics jersey. I'm kind of dumbfounded by this whole thing. It was what, like just before 6 o'clock, and Shams, all of a sudden, first of all, Shams broke all of this, but totally usurping Woj.
I was going to say he cucked Woj, but I think usurping is a much better and classier phrase, but go on.
Yes, thank you. But at 6 o'clock, it comes out, and my reaction is like, oh, no, 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 no. And I'm thinking that, all right, this is going to be one of those, they started talking, but it's not going to be a big thing. Like, I didn't think it was going to be a big thing. And then Woj chimes in and says, they're close. They're in serious talks. And you're like, okay. And that just escalated to trade being done within like an hour. It came out of nowhere. It smacked you in the face. And then all of a sudden it's done. It's done. At the end of August, it's done. A blockbuster trade. Don't you think that maybe Kevin Pritchard is sitting there saying, maybe I should have just kind of waited instead of just trading Paul George away for Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo, or that Chicago should have waited before trading away Jimmy Butler? Because Danny Ainge said we had offers on the table that had this caliber of pick, and no one, we didn't get them done. So it makes you wonder.
Yeah, no, Kevin, it all comes back to Kevin Pritchard being an idiot. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's the moral of the offseason. But it's still dumbfounded. And like, you're right, it happened at 6 and we're recording now at like around 10. We've had 4 hours to process it. And I thought I was going to come on with like just some real good takes that embrace nuance, that just really broke down the situation. It feels like for the past half an hour, I've just been saying, oh man, this is... It could be good for the Celtics, but it still kind of sucks. But it could be good. Like, it's still dumbfounding. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we are. It's hard to judge this trade in the immediate aftermath. The Celtics have a very good player in Kyrie Irving. As much as I have gotten on him, and I stand by those comments, that right now there are many other players I would rather have running the point. I acknowledge that doesn't mean that he's not a good player. It means there are better players in a 450 some odd player league, that there are a couple dozen players that I would like ahead of him. That's still a pretty damn good player. So I acknowledge that. The questions are really, in the end, what happens with Isaiah's hip? Is that a long-term issue? Is LeBron going to go anyway, and so rendering making the Cavs better just a non-issue? And does Kyrie grow into a bigger role, become a superstar player under Brad Stevens, and becomes the one of the cornerstones to a future championship team? And what happens with that Brooklyn Nets pick? Does that fall in the top 3, 4, 5? Did the Celtics have the possibility of getting a player that could have been as good as Kyrie in a few years? Do they, or does Brooklyn become good enough where that falls into like the 8, 9, 10 range, and then it's not so bad? So then you look at what happened with the, do they get the Lakers pick? Maybe they end up getting the better pick out of this anyway. So, and you can say they kept Jaylen Brown, they kept Jason Tatum. Those guys, Tatum especially, going to get plenty of minutes. Jaylen Brown was always going to get minutes. But Jason Tatum has the opportunity now to get more minutes. It's a lot of things need to be answered. A lot of questions need to be answered before we really look at the totality of this trade and who ends up being the winner. Right now, there are people who are saying the Celtics got worse this summer. I guess here's the question for you then, because I was on Locked On NBA, and this was a question that I was asked. Do you think the Celtics got better, worse, or stayed the same at the end of this summer so far?
Oh, it's a good question. So basically it's Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum versus Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas. I guess you can't include Tatum in there unless you want to include Fultz was the other option. I would say in the short term, no. In the long term, I think they're better suited to win a championship. I think just the core of Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford for the next two seasons is a dangerous team that they can build around, hopefully with these younger players coming up. I think in the long term, if you talk about a team that can contend for a championship, I don't think it's going to be this season, but in 2 or 3 years, I think the Celtics are there. I think if they just brought back the same team who they were with last year, I don't think they would have done nearly as well in the long term. They might have been better, like more cohesive, may have played better together. So in the end, I think the Celtics end up a better franchise. I just think it might have, you talk about timelines, it kind of, I don't even know if it pushes it back, but it just kind of confirms that it's going to be later. It's just in the immediate future, I just don't see how this makes them a demonstrably better team this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was pretty clear in Ainge's conference call that the when he says that Kyrie fits the timeline better, Kyrie's 25. That means if his prime is 27, 28, 29, the timeline is 2-3 years from now. 2-3 years from now, you've got Marcus Smart, who is presumably on his second contract, and much better Jaylen Brown, who will be just about at extension or second contract. Jason Tatum, who would still be on a rookie contract, and potentially a top five pick in next year's draft with that Lakers pick. Plus, who knows what happens with Al Horford. You still got Gordon Hayward, who at that point will be 30, 31, 32, still at the tail end of his prime. That's potentially a really good team. So it makes sense. The Celtics, I think this is like the Golden State effect, where they're not going to focus on guys who are in their mid to late 30s at that time. They moved off of Isaiah Thomas in part to have a guy like Kyrie in his prime when Golden State takes that eventual step back or that team breaks up. So I'm stuck on a couple of things. I'm stuck on that pick, and there is a part of me that I know this isn't how I should look at it, but I just feel like it's such a shame. Like, Isaiah Thomas, no one came to Boston and bought into Boston as quickly and as wholly as Isaiah did. And it's just kind of cruel that he was traded. And I know this is a business, but man, this is just a cold, cold-hearted trade. You remove emotion out of it, I can see the argument for it. But when you look at everything that Isaiah did, especially the way the season ended last year, especially playing through losing his sister, then coming back, getting his teeth knocked out, then recruiting. He recruited Al Horford, going out there recruiting and trying to get Gordon Hayward and being on social media, just going at other players. I mean, this dude bought into the Celtics. He wanted to be a Celtic. He wanted to sit here and raise a banner in Boston, and now, poof, gone. You're out. That's just cruel. So it sucks, but it's the ultimate business move. And you know what? Honestly, this is a big-time lesson in the fact that loyalty does not exist in sports. If Isaiah Thomas left next summer as a free agent, let's pretend this trade didn't happen. If he left next summer, people would be tweeting us saying, it's bullshit. There's no loyalty here. He just was caring about the Brinks truck. And you know what? We don't need him. And then now you look at it and you say, what does that apply to the other side? That look at everything that Isaiah did for Boston, for the Celtics. That guy embraced the city, this team, the fans, and unceremoniously out by Kyrie Irving came available. Boom, done. You're out. See ya. Where's the loyalty? There is none. And I've been saying that for a long time. There's no loyalty in sports. You shouldn't be looking for it. You shouldn't expect it of players, because we sure as hell can't expect it from teams.
And that's why I don't begrudge any Celtics fan who, I guess, is rooting for Isaiah to succeed. And Jay Crowder. Jay probably will not get as much love just given all the brouhahas he had in the past, but I think they both deserve to be mentioned. I think it's fine to kind of root for their general success moving forward. Obviously, there's no loyalty in sports, and I imagine most Celtics fans are going to stay loyal to the Celtics just because it's, you know, the regional team and that's what you do. But you're right. There's no – it's another thing that makes it kind of awkward is that you're trading the star player, the cornerstone player, the guy who the fans have fallen in love with to your direct rival, to your direct competition – the team standing you in the way, it's going to be really hard to kind of fathom seeing them, Isaiah and Jay, in the Cavs uniforms. But I think if there's a situation in which the Cavs are playing the Warriors again for the championship, you automatically end up rooting for those guys just because, like you mentioned, they're just such, especially Isaiah, just like were Celtics and such great players that you just enjoyed watching play. So you can't help but, if the Celtics don't win the championship next year, you're damn right I want Isaiah Thomas and the Cavs to win the championship.
Wow. That's just so weird to say. It's just
I know, but it's weird to see.
Yeah, of course. Look, Isaiah Thomas deserves to win a ring. He deserves to win a ring. So if that's what happens, and look, the Celtics are not on that timeline, to use Danny Ainge's words, we're not. If Cleveland goes off and wins a championship and beats Golden State, I'm happy for it. I want Isaiah Thomas to get a ring. I wanted him to get a ring in Boston, but oh well. That's going to suck, though, man. If LeBron leaves and Isaiah finds himself in another rebuilding situation, that's going to be tough. He'll be paid a lot of money, but still. Oh well. All right, final thoughts? Anything?
The Celtics now have 14 roster spots, so they can sign someone to a veteran minimum. What are you thinking? I'm thinking either Boris Diaw or Tony Allen.
Ooh, Tony Allen. Wow, the return of Tony Allen. Wouldn't that be something?
I still think they're going to be a little bit small up front. Like they have Morris, Baines, and Horford now. So the idea of adding Diaw, I mean, I just like Diaw because he drinks cappuccinos and is a fancy passer, but he doesn't really help you in the rebounding front. Tony Allen is, he's a great defender, and I think they're going to need someone to guard twos. Like I mentioned yesterday, they lost Avery Bradley. I mean, at least they don't have to guard Kyrie Irving now, but they're going to have someone to guard Isaiah. So bringing Tony Allen in would make sense to me, but either that or someone, I can't think of another vet who would come in and immediately help you kind of with rebounding or size, because it feels like they'd already be signed by this point, but they do have another roster spot. Shane Larkin lives to see another day. He's going to get through training camp, folks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just kind of taking a quick peek at the available free agents, the forwards. Nothing really jumps out at me. Jordan Hill.
Bates. Is Mo Spates still on the board?
Maurice Spates is, let's see. I don't see him on the board, no.
That's depressing.
I see Festus Ezeli there.
Ooh. No, he's hurt too.
Chris Anderson. None of these guys, really. There's nobody. There's going to be somebody like overseas or something that they could maybe take a flyer on. But
does that concern you? That's just what I thought of. Is the Celtics' depth something that you would worry about now? Because you'd have to imagine. I'm imagining projecting the starting lineup to be Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Mook Morris, Al Horford, then with a backup of Tito, Marcus, Jason Tatum, and Aaron Baines. Maybe you get some Semi, maybe you get some Yabu, but after that, you have the German, Daniel Theis. I don't know, it just feels like that's like a 9-man rotation where ideally in the regular season you'd have like a 10 to 11 man rotation. And maybe I'm underselling what Semi and Yabu can contribute. And it's very interesting to revisit the Brad Stevens conversations, because you think he might have had wind of this when talking to Chris Mannix. Like, they had to be in some sort of talk. So maybe when he was talking about Shemi and talking about how much Jaylen Brown needed a defender, he knew that Jay Crowder was gone. But I don't know. Is the Celtics' depth something you would worry about moving forward, at least this season?
I don't think... I'm not too worried about the depth. At this point, I'm kind of shifting my focus a little bit, because I've gone from this team being on the precipice of taking advantage of mistakes, like to I think they may have taken a step back, and they're kind of even with, at this point, I still feel like they're kind of even with Toronto and Washington, whereas yesterday I thought they were a half step ahead of those guys. If we're not focused on a championship, then I'm happy to give the time to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and kind of see where those two guys and Shemi and Yabusele, kind of where they all fall as far. Like, I want to give them opportunities to play and figure it out. And if that costs the Celtics, it costs the Celtics. But I'm not too worried about them, where they go, second round, conference finals, wherever. They'll still be pretty good. They'll still be one of the best teams in the East, but I'm not, if they're not going for it this year, then the depth doesn't really matter to me.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit on that. I mean, I don't expect it. I think I've just spent past half hour talking about why I think the Celtics are a little bit worse this year, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Celtics, like, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford have the ability to kind of put this whole basketball thing together and figure out how to play together and be an amazing team, especially on the offensive end of the floor. Like, I think it's a step back, but it could be a minuscule step back, and there's still potential there, just given the amount of talent those three players have, the amount of talent that Jaylen Brown could have and potential. I'm not ready to give up on the season. I think they're in a similar kind of position to where they were. And just because the Kyrie LeBron drama is gone, there's still going to be the whole LeBron is leaving Cleveland, and that's got to be an uncomfortable locker room to play in. I still think the Celtics have a chance at winning the Eastern Conference. It wouldn't surprise me if they were still a very good basketball team. I don't think there's reason for doom and gloom yet. It's just going to take some time. Kyrie Irving's going to have to come out and fully disavow his comments about the flat earth. He's going to need to make a new Uncle Drew commercial that's something Celtics related. It's just going to take some time to kind of to grow into being a fan of this new team. But I still think they are going to be a very, very good basketball team. There's just too much talent in the starting lineup for that not to happen.
Look, I'm not – doom and gloom is not – I'm not saying doom and gloom. I'm just saying that there's – the potential here for a step backwards. They are still good. If they're on a par with Toronto or Washington, then they may have taken a little bit of a step backwards, but they're still among the top two, three, four teams in the East. I am curious how this is all going to work. They've got three really, really good players on the team. You know, that's clear. But then there are question marks that, you know, where is the I don't know, where's the glue? What's Jaylen Brown going to do? What's Marcus Smart going to do? What kind of step forward does he take? And there are a lot of questions here. So the Celtics could very well have gotten better in this summer. I don't know. Right now, I don't think so. I think they have at least stayed the same. And until they figure themselves out, it could be a tough start to the season continuity-wise. Again, four guys return from the team last year.
Thank God Tito's safe. Thank God Tito's safe. Oh, my God. That would have been heartbroken. And you talk about being sad about Isaiah leaving, but if Tito was gone, my Lord.
So, I don't know. It's like I said, it's very hard to, in the moment, evaluate this and give the trade an A, a B, or C, or whatever. There's so many moving parts here that we do have to wait and see. But there's a lot. There's a lot to this. I will say that I just saw on Twitter that some idiots are burning Isaiah Thomas jerseys, which is...
What?
Yeah. You know what that is? I'll tell you exactly what that is. That is idiots who want retweets. Because, see, I hate to be the guy who's like, oh, the media, because I'm a member of the media. But the media, quote unquote, as a whole, tends to hop on those things and they want retweets. They want attention. People burning jerseys get their shit on the news, get their shit retweeted on social media. That's all that is a desperate attempt for attention. There's no reason to burn an Isaiah Thomas jersey, and fuck you if you do.
That's such a Cleveland thing to do, and I thought we were above that. That's poppycock. I don't like that one bit. And that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm glad I didn't see it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid. All right, we'll end it right there. I did do a spot on Locked On NBA. So check out the Locked On NBA podcast because that's got reaction from the coach. And as you may or may not know, there is an anonymous coach that comes on and breaks things down with a nice, honest kind of refreshing take on things and gives an honest opinion. So check that out. I joined the show. Chris Manning from the Locked On Cavaliers podcast is on the show. Tomorrow, Chris will be on this show, Locked On Celtics, Locked On Cavaliers. Tomorrow, we will get together. We will talk this through and kind of tell each other what we're getting. Maybe we can make each other feel better or feel worse or whatever, but that's coming up in tomorrow's show. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hold on. We got to give a shout out to Jay King turning 30.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Huge news breaking while he's on vacation and on his 30th birthday.
That's happy birthday. Absolutely getting screwed by the basketball gods. That every time he is completely unavailable, major things happen. Celebrating his 30th birthday. And yeah, some people, it's a good call by you. Some people are like, where's Jay in all of this? It's his 30th birthday, literally today. And he's off with his family. He's on vacation and he's celebrating. So that's it.
Don't worry, you'll get Jay King's piping hot takes soon. Just let the man enjoy his 30th birthday because he's brought up the fact that he's old quite often. I don't think 30's that old. So I think he needs to get in the right mind space and come back and he'll give you all the fresh Kyrie takes that you need.
I definitely don't think 30's that old.
I thought you would agree with that point.
Yes. So, all right, happy birthday, Jay. We look forward to your piping hot takes. And we look forward to you guys subscribing to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Give us a rating. We're here for you whenever things happen, like the soul-crushing Isaiah Thomas trade that I cannot believe that I'm talking about right now. Thomas is out. So is Jay Crowder. Kyrie Irving is in. And, wow, what an offseason in the NBA. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.